Greetings. Praise Church, OCM. Thank you for your gracious words. And I forgot when was the last time I was here with you. It's probably before the pandemic, right? Well, it's been a long time. And I think we have gone through a lot too. Right? The pandemic has changed so many things. But I'm glad to be here, that we can worship together. It's a privilege. I'm sure that we all appreciate it, especially during the pandemic, that so many people could not get together. And every single time we get together to worship God, it is a tremendous privilege. And let's prepare our heart with a prayer once again. Father God, we thank you so much for this privilege and that we can get together to worship you and Lord. And things happen sometimes so naturally that we're just taking them for granted. Lord, we thank you so much for your love and grace and Jesus Christ, or your gracious blood, that because you sacrifice the sinners like us, that we can draw so close to you and get it together. We can call each other brother and sister and call you our Abba Father. We commit this time before you and pray that you continue to bless the preaching of your word and Holy Spirit. Pray that you prepare everyone's heart here so that we'll be receptive. We'll be able to see the truth that you want us to understand. And everyone here to be blessed. And thank you, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm glad to see that we have different generation of people here. The children are definitely so cute. I think in our church, we've been trying to promote the idea of having the children worship with us. But, you know, every time when you try to change things, it's going to be hard. People don't like changes. So I'm sure that I don't know if Pastor John had learned it from the seminary, that you don't like the location of the pulpit, you want to move it from one side to the other, you move 2 inches every week. So slowly you get to the other side. Or otherwise, you'll be the first one to get stoned. So we've been using the John surface to bring the children up to worship together. And slowly and surely, it's beautiful that we can worship together with the children. Amen. Now, so having the children here, we have youth also. We have more of youth last time when I was here. What happened to you guys? You guys are running for cover? Or they can't get up in the morning? Are they in college? Oh. You graduated and you're back here. Good for you. Are you in college? You graduated from college? In high school. Okay. Okay. Any seniors here? Okay. Your brother. All right. And, congratulations. You'll be in a different place next year this time, hopefully, right? Do you know where you're going yet? Lehigh. Well, you have a good spokesperson here. So, yeah, I'm going to learn more about him from you later on. But anyway, the high school seniors, and I'm glad that you found a good church that you're going to. Some of the seniors, they are still struggling. Some of them, they are still waiting for their dream school to reply to them. And then they're going to move on and start a new chapter. And those of you who are older, you know that. What's your brother's name? Evan? Evan. Okay. And that's a new chapter. It's an exciting chapter, but you know, it's just another chapter. You're going to be very excited now, but when you get there, after the orientation, you're going to have to find the lay of land and all the new challenges. My prayer that's going to have some good professors that you're going to encounter. But you know what? Most of them are merciless. All right. So you're going to walk through it. So you had to worry about school. You had to worry about your grade. And now you graduate and what? Some of you older, you know that. Evan, I'm not going to try to scare you and spoil your fun. But you're going to have to worry about getting graduate first. And then you have to worry about finding a job. Right? And after that, what? I don't know. Are you in a relationship yet? You're not supposed to. But soon you're going to meet some very fantastic people, right? And some people want to get your attention. So young people here, you're fascinated about what school you're going to go to and what job you're going to get, right? What kind of professor you're going to run into, what boss you're going to have, colleague and girlfriend and boyfriend, right? You talk about that too, right? You're not a bass talk about it. It's so natural. But then I'm doing a two premarital counseling right now. I have to tell them that, look, for a lot of people, I hope that you are not part of the statistic. Your high point of your life will be your preparation for your wedding and peak at the wedding. And then for a lot of people, things start to go from downhill at that point. And then you, then what? And you have, so that you can have children, right? So mix it up things a little bit. And then when you have children, you have parenting issues. How many people have been a parent or you're a parent right now? You know what I'm talking about. You're worried about when they're little, their health. When they grow a little bit older, you're worried about their education. And then they learn to talk back to you. You guys talk back to your parents? You do, right? You don't talk back to them verbally. You talk them back to them in your mind, right? In your in your non-verbals, right? So children are giving their parents a headache by the time that they wait to get you out of the house, and they have some other issue they had to worry about, right? And health issue, vacation issues, and we just went through a pandemic issue. The whole world can just turn so upside down on you. I think what I'm trying to, I'm sure you can see the picture. Life is full of hopes, and in the meantime, full of disappointments. Full of dreams, and they're full of heartaches. And it's full of uncertainties, threats. And then we all gonna, D-I-E is not a curse word, right? We're all gonna die, right? So it's a reality. Before I became a believer, one of my friends always say that it's a life sucks and then you die. So he decided not to have children, and he had a very rare last name called Yai, Y-E-I-G-H. And he said, you know what? Yai is going to stop at me because I'm the only child in my family, because I'm not going to bring any more souls to this world to suffer. But life's not supposed to be like that. I'm not trying to spoil the young people with your dreams. Life is supposed to be full of joy and peace and hope and purpose. And that's why the psalm that we have today is so encouraging. And those of you, if you are struggling with disappointment, discouragement, and less of hope. And King David told us that life is full of peace and hope and joy in any time. In the Psalm 23, you look at it, the three remarkable scenarios. I think most of you know this psalm in your heart. The first scenario is what? The green pasture, the quiet water. So it's a scenario with tranquility and peace, prosperity. And then, of course, King David said, this is a time that you should be thankful and have joy and enjoy everything that you can within your circumstances. But then what? Then there'll come the path of righteousness, the valley of shadow of death. That means there's a lot of uncertainties. We just went through a pandemic, so many uncertainties. Who just tests positive? Who's going to be next? What about me? You have no control. So that's a time, but King David still said that I fear no evil. I can still have peace in my heart. And then even though you face enemies, anyone here, you have enemies? I'm sure you have, right? We all have enemies. Some people, they would try to hurt you. And sometimes the people close to you are your worst enemy. And sometimes your professor, your teachers are your enemies. Your boss, your colleague. And sometimes an enemy could be in your own family. But still, King David said, I have no fear because God's going to provide to me. And then at the end, he said, I'm longing to be with God's presence with me to the eternity. So his whole life is full of peace and joy and hope and expectation and purpose. What a life. But then some of you might say that it is easy for David to say. He's a king, King David. He was promised a bright future, right? So he was given, it's like when you are 13 years old and you got an invitation from Harvard already, like, we welcome you to be our future student or Lehigh, right? You don't have to like take your SAT, you're already chosen. Wouldn't it be nice? But you know what? King David was promised a bright future when he was a lad, but all of us, we are promised a bright future too. Do you know that? Everyone is already chosen. Before we even were born, we are chosen to be part of God's salvation plan. So we are all have this promise, the privilege to be children of God. So for that, in that aspect, King David and I, and we are equal. Amen? Now, and then after that, what happened to King David? And King David had to endure many, many trials and challenges before he could realize and see the plans and promises to come true. He waited for 17 years to become the king that was promised. But the majority of the time that when he was waiting is what? He had to face attacks, uncertainties, and he has so many enemies. I don't know about you, not too many people have more enemies than King David. Right? We all know there's very well-known giant Goliath, enemy that he was to fight. And King Saul, the most powerful person in the world, was his worst enemy, wanted to kill him. And the Philistines, everywhere, they were everywhere, they wanted to kill him. And then even his own family, his own son, wanted his life. So King David's life is full of challenges, threats, distress, and heartaches. When he was young, those of you have many, you have siblings, you always think about who's going to be the child of your parents, right? And King David, when he was a little, the first experience he had was being undermined and ignored by his parents, by his own father. Right? Out of the eight children, he's the youngest. So when the prophet Samuel came and they anoint and make the announcement that king is chosen, he was never in the consideration of his father. So if you are a child, if you are a little child, how do you feel that you're being written off by your own parents? It's not a good feeling. And then as we grow older and he want to take on the job to fight against the Goliath, and King Saul could not believe that he could do the job. So he was undermined by his boss. And he was mocked by his wife, even though when he was trying to worship, his worship style was not good. And his wife was mocking him. So how could you worship God like that? And after all that, and what happened is his own family. Those of you who want to get married, you know that you all want to have a loving family and people love one another. And we know what happened. We have all the family tragedies you don't want to see to happen in his family. Incest, rape, murders. And then his own son Absalom won his life because he wanted his job. Now, what a life. You still want King David's life? Do you still envy King David's life? That is full of sufferings and long sufferings. But still, King David, he wrote the psalm and said, yes, you can have joy, peace, hope, and purpose in all your life. In this Psalm 23, get your Bible out, please, and let's read it one more time, Psalm 23. Some of you, I know that you can recite it. All right, let's read it together, okay? You'll get you ready. All right, young people, I hope that you can still flip the Bible, because the Bible app right now is they neutralize you. Some of the young people, they can't even look for the Bible. Are you ready? Psalm 23, let's go. The Lord is my shepherd. Shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Amen. Amen. What a beautiful psalm. Now let me ask you this. We just read this psalm. Don't put away your Bible yet. What comes to your mind when you read this psalm? What impressed you? If you're like the most people, a typical person, I'm sure that you are drawn to these terms. Green pasture, right? Still water, quiet water. valley of the shadow of death, enemies. How many of you are impressed by these terms? And you already have a picture in your mind. You know, this is the thing. We are all very captivated and gravitated to our circumstances. And David is different. David's focus is on the Lord and the relationship with him. He began with this psalm. He said, before he mentioned green pasture, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And then I keep going on. He said, he makes me. He leads me. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths. He prepares me a table. He said, you, Lord, anoint my soul. You see that? You see the difference here? The secret, the mystery that David had to enjoy life fully, as intended by God for us, is our focus. The focus is on God and have a relationship with him. And David said, if the Lord is my shepherd, your shepherd, then you shall not want. Now, let me get, I'm sure that you learned this from the Sunday school lessons. But you know, the shepherd is so very, the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep are unique. Because when you think about sheep, what do you think of? Huh? What animal? Dumb animal. Okay, so very smart people here, because our people, they think of sheep as cute, right? Yeah, they're very cute to the wolf, right? When the wolf love them, they're dumb. They will not be able, they can enjoy the green pasture. They can relax before the quiet water. But if they're not capable of finding them, they remind us of a lot of our children. How many of you know that where to find food in your refrigerator? Right, you can order, right? But you cannot make them, and you cannot find them. Right? Mom, what is for dinner? That's not the best they can say, and then you learn to complain, right? And then, so you can see a lot of the sheepishness in the children. They're equally dumb. I'm sorry, but I'm calling myself too, because you know, I'm a sheep of the sheep. So they're dumb. They cannot find the green pasture or quiet water, but they know how to enjoy them, just like us. We know how to have fun, but we don't know how to sustain ourselves truly. And they're defenseless. They cannot defend themselves. Okay? And they need protection. The sheep are created to be prey for the predators. They're in the bottom of the food chain. Now, and then worse yet, they're dumb. They're vulnerable. They're gullible. They will just trust anything. You go to the zoo, the petting zoo, you see that there's a kid following you. They'll follow anyone, anything. And there have been Stephen studies saying that the whole pack of sheep is one sheep, the bellwether, if they decided to jump over the cliff, the rest of the pack would do what? It would just follow and jump. Do you see how dumb are they? How gullible are they? But do you see a lot of the sheep's nature in human being? We follow. How many of you go to, you paid $8 or $9 for the Kung Fu tea? Is it because people say that's good? How many of you? Huh? The sheep, dumb sheep. And then you come and tell your sibling, your friends, you gotta have it. Why? It's good. Why is it so good? Because people say that they're good. And when you go there, you pay them $8, $9 and line up for half an hour for that dumb tea. And people ask you, how is it? You have no choice but to say it's good, right? Because you dare not to go against the flow. When everybody wear that particular, like, my children make me wear this tight suit. 20 years ago, I looked like a clown, right? Pastor John would know, right? Right. The suit we grew up with was a little bit more boxy. You're supposed to be able to grab your sleeve. Because what they call fashion. And fashion is to fool people to go to buy something they don't need to. So we help our Macy's because we need to change our wardrobe because people would call us odd if we don't change them. But you know that people would just follow the social media. We go to the same place, eat the same food, and wear the same thing. We just love to follow. It's called a mob mentality. So we are defenseless. Look at the pandemic. One little virus can wipe out the whole population. Right? God's mercy allowed the pandemic to go away, not the vaccines. Please. I think it's proven. I'm not here to start any provocative debate, but only by God's mercy that the pandemic can go away. Amen? Not Dr. Fauci. Right? God, the SARS in Hong Kong in 2003, I believe, mysteriously disappeared because we don't have no idea. Moderna, the one who came up with this vaccine, because they were so close to fruition during the SARS, and all the invention became useless. So when their first trial here has some headway, what did they do? All the directors, they sold their stocks. Because you don't know when the pandemic is going to go away again. Right? God's mercy. God did not want us to get wiped out. God has promised us that he's not going to wipe out the population by the flood. So he's not going to wipe out, not by the flood of the water and not by the flood of the virus. But it's a wake-up call that we have to trust in God. And amen. And David said we need a shepherd. And who is going to be a better shepherd than God? That he knows what is the best for us, that we can trust him. I don't know why you chose Lehigh. It's supposed to be a good school. All right. But you don't know what your future is going to plan out. All right. And sometimes we just don't know. We listen to people. We read the study, and sometimes the parents, every parent here, want to give your children the best, right? But what is the best? Aside from Jesus and God, we don't know what's the best. Sometimes when we think that we're doing them a good service, you might end up making their life miserable. But I'm not telling you to go back and not to listen to your parents, by the way. All right? But they are trying to give you the best. But God is the one who really knows. The world, the news media, and the school, first of all, they don't care about you or love you. They care about their own budget, their own popularity. And in the meantime, if you just follow them, they are just another sinner. The reason the parents, even though when we're trying to give the best to our children, we're not sure because I myself is a sinner. So the best I could do is just keep praying for my kids. I said, just make sure that you pray and live and follow God's lead because I think what's the best for you. But that might not be. But the best thing is that we all worship God together. And God is omnipotent. Nothing is impossible before God, and he's all-loving. So David said, we all need a shepherd, and God is our best shepherd, so we should follow him. Like Peter followed Jesus. The early disciples, they followed Jesus. They followed Jesus when Jesus wants you to go, and you go. Jesus walked on water when Jesus told him to walk on water. The disciples want to start the church, and Jesus said, wait, and you wait. Remember the song? I go when you tell me to go. I stop when you tell me to stop. That's what's supposed to be a sheep for how you follow on the shepherd. And then secondly, King David said, so if you honor God as your shepherd, there's a mystery to abundant life. The second thing is that you have to focus on him and not on your circumstances, because whatever you're focusing on become magnified. And you focus on your circumstances, you're focusing on your fear will become magnified. It's all in your mind. So if you focus on your dream job and your dream school, it will become a disaster for you when you receive a rejection. And those of you, you have a dream, you have a dream person for your relationship. When you get rejected, that will be the end of the world. That's why some young people, they don't want to live. Getting laid off is not the end of the world. A lot of Americans, they are in transition of job. But however, if all you're focusing is your job and you don't have a job, life becomes no meaning for you. If you're focusing on your circumstances and your want, you'll never be able to find peace. You know why? It's never enough. We're going to have this deep sense of insecurity keep driving you and keep intensified with your want. When you find a gym job, you want a promotion. That's your focus, that's your focal point. When you get your promotion to become an AVP, then what? You want to be a VP. And then you want to be executive VP. It's endless pursuit. You constantly want to reach higher and higher in the fear of losing what you have. So your want, well, focusing on it, is not going to bring you contentment and peace and joy. It might give you a very short moment of excitement. If you think about a green pasture, and let it define your blessing, then what? You tend to compare your green pasture against your neighbors. How many of you are victim of comparisons? And with that, naturally will come envy and jealousy and arrogance. You never have peace. But if you choose to focus on God, then He'll become bigger in your life. And that's what King David said. Let me tell you this. Green pasture only appear once in this psalm and never mentioned again. You pay attention. But God has been mentioned repeatedly on every single verse. So we got when it's green pastures, right, path of righteousness, or scary situation when you face threats. King David said, just focus on God and we'll be able to enjoy life and find peace and contentment. He said, that is the secret. One's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. God is in control. And King David said, if you just focus on God, let him be your shepherd and focus on him, and you'll be able to find peace and joy when times are good. You will be able to find sense of peace and security when times are rough and harsh. And you'll still be able to enjoy life, whether it's pandemic or not pandemic, because your trust is in the Lord. And that is the secret and mystery to abundant life. Now, I don't know how many of you that you have Jesus as your shepherd yet, because the promise to David is offered to all of us. Jesus Christ came with the purpose is to call people to become his sheep, and he wanted to be our shepherd. In John 10, and part of your reading, and Jesus said, I came as a good shepherd because I want you to have life and have it abundantly. So God is calling us, and Jesus come and call us to become his flock. And everyone here is called, every one of you. And that's why you are here. And some of you have already answered the call, and some of you have not yet. And Jesus said, and those, how do you know that you are Jesus' sheep? And Jesus said, my sheep recognize my voice. They hear me, listen to me, and they answer my call. So those of you, you're here, you're already called. But not every one of you are Jesus' sheep. So it's up to you to make a decision that you answer his call to follow him as your shepherd. He's already called. He wants you to come to him. So those of you that you've been in the church for a while, especially the young ones, you have not answered the call, you might want to talk to Pastor John and figure out sort it out and make sure that you have Jesus as your shepherd for the rest of your life. And some of you have answered the call, but then you got to stray away. Okay, you're focusing on the wrong place. That's a reminder. This is a psalm is reminding us that you belong to Jesus, then you try to focus on Jesus. Don't let anything else distract you. Don't let your circumstance distract you and rob your joy. You might be in the middle of the green pasture right now, right by the quiet water. Give thanks to the Lord when you're enjoying your prosperity and peace time, and knowing that the righteous path is going to come soon. Because our Lord's not going to let you just sit in the green pasture. He's going to lead you to the righteous path to keep you moving for exercise, for discipline, for his name's sake. That's why it's called the righteous path, the path of righteousness. So when life becomes rough, don't complain. Focus on the Lord and say, what do you want me to learn? Are you teaching me to be more patient? Are you strengthening my faith by changing my circumstances because I've become more complacent? Or because you're disciplining me? I'm getting lazy. I'm getting nosy. I gossip. I envy. And now you are teaching me a lesson. You might be in the situation you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. You might have a horrible diagnosis from a doctor. You might be at a risk on the verge of losing a relationship. Fear no evil. Let Jesus Christ comfort you because he knows what's the best for you. You don't even know. It's the relationship to be restored and salvaged. Jesus will teach you a way to salvage the relationship so that you could trust more in him and treasure the relationship even more. If the relationship is not meant to be, let God be God and take you to another green pasture. Amen? And then after all that, David said we all share the same eternal hope that God's presence has been promised with us from here to eternity. And that is actually the purpose of our life. Our purpose of life is not just to eat and sleep and poop. Right? Not just to be in green pasture and you work off the calories that you picked up and you call it a day. The purpose of life is preparing us for eternity. Young people, you still have some years to come. But all of us, we have eternity waiting for us. With Jesus Christ, we are all promised this eternal hope. On all the green pastures, quiet water, the path of righteousness, the valley of shadow of death, and the enemies that we face, they're all simply training sessions for us to prepare us for our eternity, for eternal home. Brothers and sisters, my prayer is that you all follow Jesus Christ, your shepherd, that you can enjoy life every single day with peace, joy, and hope, a sense of purpose for one reason, because the Lord is your shepherd, and you shall not want. The moment that you feel that you will have want, then you have to ask yourself, is Jesus your Lord, the Lord, your shepherd or not your shepherd? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your reminder that you love us so much, that you have given to us everything before we even ask. We are so thankful that for your continued presence and strengthening to be with us. Yes, life could be rough, but with you, we can always find joy, peace, contentment, purpose, and hope. We thank you. And Jesus being our shepherd. And I pray for everyone here that you strengthen us. We can continue to set our eyes on you and not get distracted, discouraged by the circumstances that we are facing, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.